Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the All Out Recap. You know the name, you know the voice, you know exactly why I'm here. Just in case if you don't, I'm a 24-year-old piece of gold, the Messiah of the microphone, and the greatest sports recreational podcast in the world today. No longer Bulletcast champion. 13 days, that's one of my shorter reigns. Congratulations, Baby Huey, two-time champ. But on the line with me is not Brandon. He decided to go out of town. I have Cindy G from NoDQ.com and the Into the Stratosphere podcast under the Bulletcast umbrella. Cindy, how you doing? We're doing Zoom for the first time. It's great.
I know, right? This is something new and very unique that we're doing. Even though I've done like past videos before with NoDQ using the Zoom app, so this is kind of like not my first rodeo, though.
Absolutely, you know, I had to break out the new AEW hoodie for the recap. If you guys are watching the video, I know people want us to do more video stuff. So please, you know, go over to our YouTube, watch this, interact, hang out. I know it gets people really more engaged. But with that being said, we're just going to jump right into it. We're not going to talk to the pre-show. It's basically like AW Dark, as Cindy said, off air.
Yeah. Like, I know that the second match, like Private Party versus Alex Reynolds and John Silver, it was a pretty good, like, buy-in show. But then all in all, it's just your typical AW Dark match.
Yeah, it was. Well, the first match on the main card was the tooth and nail match. Mm-hmm. It was Big Swole versus Britt Baker with Rebel Reba, whatever you want to call her. they were at Britt Baker's dental office, and when Cindy told me this was going to be a cinematic match, I'm like, okay, cool. I thought they were going to use, like, some Novocaine and some gas, which they kind of did. Mm-hmm. They kind of did, but I'm like, it didn't live up to what I thought it was going to be. This fell kind of flat for me, I'm not going to lie. I thought it was going to be like a tooth extraction match. You know, WWE just did the whole eyeball thing. I'm like, if they extract a tooth, I'm going to love it. I love little corny stuff like that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, there's no actual timestamp for it. But there was just a lot of – it didn't really get it done for me, you know, to open up the show. What about you?
Well, I thought it was kind of like a very unique match, like – especially the part where Big Swole did came in after she beat the crap out of Reba, Rebel, whatever the hell you call her. She's so Rebel to me. And she saw, like, a bloody dental chair. It's like, oh, crap. So this is kind of like some creepy horror movie type of deal. Like, we'll see a different side of Britt Baker. But no, it's kind of like your typical, like, street fight match that it kind of, like, doesn't even resonate to. And you have, like, a couple of this, like, hokey part of it, but the only thing that is kind of cool is that how Britt brought the syringe and then like Swole did trying to like dodge it out until like she put it on Britt's thigh. It's like, whoa, this is kind of like a little bit extreme. All in all, it was kind of more comical to extent. I enjoyed it, but the match quality itself, it's like it didn't lead up to the expectation. I know they had their long feud like during this pandemic era of wrestling, and I thought I was expecting a little bit more from Britt Baker to it, but I guess it's just how it goes. I don't know if this is going to be the last time we're going to be seeing any more of the cinematic match from AEW for the time being, since they brought in some fans.
I don't think so. I would have rather have had her just have a normal wrestling match. Mm-hmm. You know, like Swole's she's a decent enough performer to where both of them could have given them, like, I don't know, like 10, 15 minutes to start off, let them really set the tone for the women for the night, because, you know, we had the AEW women's title match later on in the show. Yeah. I thought that would have been better than doing this. I mean, this is something we could have seen on Dynamite, to be honest with you.
I agree, but the question is, like, do you rather see this in the buy-in than the main card? I know that there was, like, a lot of people have been complaining regarding, like, the how they placed that match from the buy-in first, and then they went to the main card.
I think Britt Baker does deserve to be on the main card because, you know, she was the first female signing for the company, and now she feels like so much more of a big deal than when she first signed. So for her to be on the main card, that's great. But this didn't need to be on the main card. If it was a traditional singles match, I would have been perfectly fine with that. Like I said, this is something you could have seen on Dynamite, you know?
Exactly. Like, I just wish that it got to have to add in a little bit more speculation to it, and especially explaining a little bit more of, like, this whole tooth and nail concept, too. Like, as you mentioned it, we'd rather see some teeth extraction or anything cool dental procedure, but then all in all, it's just, it's too comical at spots.
Yeah. I think all the cinematic matches have to have, like, a little bit of comedy, so it has a little bit of something for everybody. You know, like AJ in the hand and John Cena and Bray with the "you can look but you can't touch," stuff like that.
Yeah.
But we're going to move on. So our second match on the main card was Matt and Nick Jackson, the Young Bucks, arguably the best tag team in the world, going up against Jurassic Express, Jungle Boy. That's town business. It's town business, you know, from making a name for himself out here in All Pro Wrestling in the Bay, and his tag team partner Luchasaurus. They lost to the Young Bucks 14 minutes and 50 seconds. Felt a lot longer. You know, when good stuff's happening in a match, it feels like it's going a little bit. Yeah, this was you know, the Young Bucks, they still had that kind of little darker demeanor to them in the match, but you know, at their entrance, they still did the pose, and you know, this was more like, I want to say, like, a couple years ago, BTE Young Bucks, where, you know, they're comical and goofy, but they can get serious, they can get down to business when they need to. What did you think of the match, and did you think the right guys won?
Honestly, I was even surprised that the Young Bucks is going to win this match. I know that coming into it, they have a lot in their plate, especially, like, what they've been going through, like, with the whole situation with Hangman Page and Kenny Omega. It's just that they just needed to find, like, more of, like, a focus and more of an outlet for them just to let out their frustration altogether. But it's pretty interesting the fact that, like, Marco Stunt got involved in the match, and then you see, I think it was Matt, correct me if I'm wrong, Matt Jackson did super kick the crap out of Marco during the match outside of the ring. So you could see, like, how much of, like, built up anger both these guys are. But all in all, like, I was pretty much impressed with the match, even though it was kind of, like, a bit too long, but it did tell, like, a great story, like, what's in the mindset from the Young Bucks.
No, yeah, absolutely. And I like the real story progression here with all these guys. And, you know, it's been Kenny Omega's been very vocal. Like, 2020, we're focusing on the tag team division because, I mean, their roster is absolutely stacked.
Yeah.
And, like, I'm mad that guys like Pentagon and Phoenix aren't getting their time to shine. Why aren't Santana and Ortiz tag champs? Like, I've been mad about that stuff for quite some time. But it goes to show, when you have all this talent, you know, not everybody's going to get their turn, so to speak, right away. But eventually, guys will have their time to shine, and this was great for Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus, you know, a lower-level tag team, a nice comedy act, so to speak, to be in there with a nice main event tag team like the Bucks. And the BTE trigger was their new finish?
Yes.
Kind of a play on the Golden Love trigger that Ibushi and Omega used to do in Japan when they were the Golden Lovers. So, and all in all, I thought this was nice, you know, nice Young Bucks match, working with some other talent. Any other thoughts on this?
Not that I know of, but I know that the question is, like, what's going to be next for the Jurassic Express? Like, are they going to get enough push they'll be getting, especially, like, how they're going to be involving, like, in the tag team divisions?
I don't know, you know, like, we'll talk about the main event of the tag team scene later on once we get to that match. But, I mean, you look at a Private Party, I think they're going to crack the number 5 slot, like they were saying on the buy-in, because of their win.
Yep.
But then again, you could have somebody like a Stu Grayson and a Evil Uno. Yeah. They could creep in there. So you never know, you know. I'd like to see a nice tag team upset, and I do believe Jurassic Express will have the tag team championships eventually. It's just not their time right now.
Yeah, I could see it kind of like a couple months to a year down the line.
Absolutely, absolutely. All right, so next up we have the 21-man casino battle royale. You gotta say royale because there's an E at the end of it.
Oh yeah.
Lance Archer, the Murder Hawk, was the victor here. I picked Eddie Kingston, and he almost won. And I was like, oh, my God, oh, my God. But, that, of course, that didn't happen. Matt Sydal, former Evan Bourne in WWE. You know, he's had a run in Impact and Ring of Honor over the last couple years. Makes his debut at AEW. That was really cool. He had a botch. You know, glad he's okay.
Oh, yeah.
Glad he's okay. You know, guys, let's not laugh at botches. He could have been seriously hurt. But I know people online like buried him or laughed out loud or just chuckled at it. I kind of was like, ooh, I hope he's all right, you know. But the battle royale, I thought it worked itself out really well. You have Sean Spears not getting in there right away, you know, thinking smart. You know, that's just Tully's influence on him. I like how we got to see Tully multiple times throughout the night with Sean Spears and later on with FTR. Will Hobbs, some more town business, man. He had a really impressive showing in there. I thought he was about to win it. I'm not going to lie.
You know, yeah, like, I was completely marked out where I heard his theme entrance. And, like, seeing Will, like, being in this one of this big match for one of the biggest pay-per-view for AEW, it actually kind of, like, bring more joy into light, like, not just for myself, but for, like, everybody in the Bay Area. And for the fact that, like, he worked so hard. I know that he had, like, a couple of, like, you know, like, short matches here and there, like, on AEW Dark. And I know he only made the appearance on AEW Dynamite for just, like, a couple, like, a few minutes of a match. But all said and done, he did last it that long in the casino battle royale. Like, I was pretty surprised.
Absolutely, man. And just like seeing him, like we've become like pretty close going to shows and stuff like that, chopping it up a little bit. He's been on the show. Just to see a guy that I used to watch as Will Rude with the blue mohawk wrestle in the APW garage in 2012, 2013, busting his ass for all these years, to be on this big of a stage. Will, if you listen to this, dude, congratulations, brother. I'm so incredibly proud of you, man. You're representing the Bay. It just proves, you know, there's something in the water here in Bay Area wrestling. And once everything is safe and when we can get back to it, other people will thrive like you see Will doing and Thunder Rose and all everybody else that are in these different companies right now. That's but right. All in all, what else did you think about the Battle Royal?
The Battle Royal, I enjoyed it, but I know there was kind of like a couple of like botches here and there. Of course, the notable botches would be Matt Sandel's debut. It was kind of like, you know, kind of lead like in a little bit of an embarrassment movement for Sandel. Kind of felt bad, but I'm glad he did. He was okay, and then he finished up what he got to do before he got eliminated for that. I know a lot of people are dragging on him, especially some of the wrestlers, mostly Impact Wrestling star, that kind of like throw in shades to Sydal. Like you have his Ethan Page, Jordynne Grace, Taya Valkyrie. Those are the wrestlers that I just saw it on Twitter. I was like, wow. Even though they didn't mention his name, but they actually kind of like throw in some of the subliminal messages here and there too. And I can understand it because of like the bad reputation he had, like when he used to be in Impact Wrestling. But then again, it's like I know he's just trying to regain his reputation, and that's what he's doing, like with that botch.
Oh, wow. Not to cut you off, but he's a problem guy too?
Pretty much from what I read the reports like in the past, like maybe, when he was in the pack.
Maybe it's just Impact. You know, Austin Aries had some problems. You had TB with her problems. And maybe it's just Impact. I don't know. Yeah, but Butcher had a nice showing. Good to see him finally do some stuff. The big spot with Darby Allin and the body bag and the tacks.
Oh, my God.
Ah!
Like, that thumbtack, like how they bury him, like in a body bag full of thumbtack. It's like, it's so hard to watch. Even though I'm more into watching like hardcore matches and death matches, but for that, that's kind of like a little bit too far for me.
Honestly, like I've seen Jeff Hardy dive off of everything. Darby Allin might be crazier than Jeff Hardy. I'll say it right now. And then the leftover tacks and guys taking bumps on that.
Yeah, no.
Jesus Christ. Oh, man. Any other thoughts on the Battle Royale?
Battle Royale. So I was surprised that Austin Gunn wasn't even part of the Battle Royale, even though like his name was being mentioned and was part of the participate. But I don't know what happened for that. I was surprised that Sonny Kiss made his surprise for the Battle Royale. And everything about it was like pretty much good. You have like memorable moments from here and there, mainly like the final showdown between Archer and Eddie Kingston. That was pretty impressive, especially with Jake the Snake Robber holding a bag. I think it was like a snake inside or something like that. Like, I don't know what he was trying to do with that bag, too.
Yeah, the illusion was there's a snake in there. It's probably, let's see, the original snake's name was Damien back in the 80s. So it's probably like Damien's like great-grandson or something, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, that was like pretty interesting.
Yeah, well, all in all, Lance Archer has an opportunity at the AEW World Champion. We will get to that in the main event. All right, Matt Hardy versus Sammy Guevara in a broken rules match.
Funny.
This was actually 9 minutes, believe it or not, yeah. So they started off with, I like the continuity there with Sammy pulling up in the golf cart. I'm like, okay, yes, absolutely, I love that. And they're fighting, and they take the table bump, and Matt, like, smacked head first on the concrete, like, really missed the table.
Yeah.
And I was in favor of them stopping the match because I'm like, okay, this actually plays into the story more. Matt's an older guy. He's, like, in his mid to late 40s, and he's had a hell of a career. Like, a couple years ago, his tailbone and spine were fusing together where he could barely walk, you know? So that just played into it for me. I'm like, okay, you know, it's a pay-per-view, but if that happens, it's okay. But I forget the doctor's name. He gave Matt the okay to go, so they fight for a little bit longer. And then kind of like what happened with Sammy at the stadium stampede, he falls through like a platform. Mm-hmm. And so it was basically a last man standing match. And Sammy was unable to answer the 10 count. And your winner of the last man standing broken rules match, Matt Hardy.
Yeah, that match, like, it doesn't even sit well with me for that, knowing the fact that when Matt and Sammy did land it so hard, you could tell that Matt's head was landed on the concrete. My friends and I, we were so concerned, like, is he okay? Like, what's going to happen? You could see that referee Aubrey did hold an X, like, to make sure just to stop the match to see, like, how Matt is doing because, like, he was dead on conscious. I was surprised for the fact that, like, he got up, he wanted to continue on the match, but, like, you could tell, like, he's, like, so unwell, like, his facial expression. You could see, like, how he's walking. Like, you see that, like, he was seriously hurt and seriously concussed. I wish this match should not be continued, especially for the safety of Matt Hardy. There has been a lot of uproar going on Twitter that a lot of people were very uncomfortable seeing what happened with this match, including myself too. Like, I don't know. It's just kind of really irks me for the fact that AEW needs to know how they can handle like the well-being for their talent. And for that happen with this debacle, like, they really need to stop the match. Like, I don't care if it continues on, especially for those time frame, but the well-being of the town does need to come first, you know. And
yeah, absolutely. But the thing, like it's still wrestling, and I was even still kind of like, okay, is he really hurt or are they working? You know how WWE will do the throw up the X and they're really working us. I was kind of like, okay, is TK, is he working us tonight too? You know, that's where I was at, but you could kind of see it in his eyes, the glaziness, and I'm like, oh yeah, he's kind of gone.
Yeah, and it was pretty much like so bad. Like, and you know that, like, couple minutes later, that according on Twitter from Brian Alvarez, a Wrestling Observer newsletter, that reported that Matt Hardy is rushed to the hospital. So that indicated it was very serious. And of course, his wife, Rebby Hardy, did posted a tweet with the screenshot of the text message trying to get Matt Hardy's response. And on Twitter, she said, "Let me be absolutely effing clear. There is in capital. Nothing entertaining about a concussion. Shame on everyone in that damn, in that goddamn building. And then she posted a picture of the screenshot with Matt Hardy's text. Say, love you, gotta head to the football field in just a minute to start our match. Hope you enjoy it. What a smiley face emoji. And then from there on, like, Revy did wrote, I love you, don't be dumb. And then, like, the last three responses is she's trying to message Matt, but he hasn't replied. And it was, like, dead on, seriously. Like, with the whole distraught going on from Revy, especially everybody else, like, safety and well-being is always a must in the book.
No, no, absolutely, 100%, you know. And, you know, hopefully Matt will be okay. I mean, I'm sure he's had so many concussions in his career, and I'm sure he's had worse injuries. You know, Matt's a trooper. He'll power through it, you know.
I just hope it's nothing serious too, because like throughout the pay-per-view, people are like very worried about, like, you know, what's the update on Matt Hardy? What's the status? I know that during commentary for some of the matches, none of them even mention of the medical update from Matt Hardy at all. And that kind of like leaves a distraction to like trying to enjoy the rest of the pay-per-view. Like on and on with this match, it's kind of like very overshadowing with the enjoyment of the pay-per-view alone.
No, yeah, absolutely. 100%, 100%. Well, hopefully, Matt, hopefully you are okay, man. And if it is even more serious than just the concussion, get well soon, my brother. Get well soon. All right, we're going to move on to Hikaru Shida defending the AEW World Women's Championship against Thunder Rosa. Some more town business, man. Thunder Rosa is the NWA World's Women's Champion. This match was 17 minutes on the dot. Perfect. And it was good. It was good. I will go on record and say this. This is the best women's match in All Elite Wrestling history. I will say it.
I agree with you.
I thoroughly enjoyed this. The combination of knee strikes, because, you know, Shida, obviously she's Japanese, and then Thunder Rosa has had tours of Japan. I think she's the I forget what title it is. It's like a Joshi Pro or something like that.
I think so. I don't, because I know that one title, but it doesn't even click. It's been so long since I've been watching some independent wrestling during this pandemic.
Yeah. But what were your thoughts on the match?
I actually really enjoy the match. It's kind of like a distraction from what happened from the last match. I really give so much praises for both Thunder Rosa and Hikaru Shida for giving their all. Great storytelling, great chemistry, impressive spot. All together, I absolutely really love it. You could tell like the determination from Shida that she wanted to regain her title altogether. And I'm glad that there wasn't even no distraction, like what was supposed to happen. All in all, it was very impressive. And I honestly think that this is like one of the best AEW women's match I've seen in a very long time. That, and then of course, Hikaru Shida versus Nyla Rose at Double or Nothing. That was perfect. And I was very much very impressed. I'm glad Hikaru Shida did retain the title, because now I'm looking forward to the next feud that she can face. It's against Dr. Britt Baker, DMD.
Absolutely, man. I had to look up the title because it was bothering me. So for Tokyo Joshi Pro, she won the International Princess Championship on January 5th of this year. It was eating at me. I'm sorry. I thoroughly enjoyed this. I mean, Thunder Rosa, she's only been wrestling for 6 years. And to put on these quality of matches, that's really impressive. You know, that just goes to the grind that she's had. Go listen to the homie Baby Huey on In the Click. He interviewed Thunder Rosa a couple days ago, and he has that up. And it's a really great listen. She goes into her training and stuff like that. But a hard hitting, a lot of knee strikes, you know, kicked out of the Falcon Arrow at one. But all in all, I forget what she calls the knee strike that she does. It's kind of like Shinsuke's Kinshasa. It got the job done. 1, 2, 3. Thunder Rosa, very impressive showing, but she did not walk out AEW Women's Champion. Hikaru Shida still has it. And I'm ready for Britt Baker to hold the title, man. I really am. Me too. I thought this match would have happened here, but you know, they went the big swole route, which is cool. That's fine.
Yep.
But full gear, let's put that into gear.
Oh, yeah.
We can get Britt Baker to the AEW Women's World Championship. I'm ready for that.
Me too, especially to end 2020.
Oh yes, because this year has been
it's a hell of a year. Let's just say that Rona taking over the world. It's like we're living in a movie. Like, Lord.
It has been a whirlwind. Hopefully, everybody's staying safe and staying healthy. Next up, we have the Dark Order, consisting of the TNT champion Brody Lee, Colt Cabana, Evil Uno, and Stu Grayson, going up against Cody's friends, Matt Cardona, Scorpio Sky, the Natural Nightmares, his brother Dustin Rhodes, and QT Marshall. 8-man tag team match, 15 minutes and 10 seconds. Honest to God, I could have saw this on Dynamite.
Same here. Like, you know what's funny? It's so weird seeing Colt Cabana, like, being, I don't know if he's still part of the Dark Order or he's associated with the Dark Order. It's like so many confusion of life, because when I saw AEW Dark yesterday, he had a match against Zach Clayton, which is, turns out to be Jay Wild's boyfriend from Jersey Shore. Just saying, I watched Jersey Shore. Digress on that. But then while during the match, you have is Stu and Evil Uno trying to give him like pep talk, telling him what to do. Even though Cope was trying his best to do. But then like during this match here on All Out, it's like he's trying his best to impress Mr. Brody Lee, and he doesn't want it to F up altogether. It's just so weird. Like, I feel like he's kind of, like, out of place. Because I'm not used to seeing Cole, like, being in a group. Like, and I'm confused. Like, is he still a face? If he's a heel? Like, I don't even know.
Colt, you know, like he said, he's still just feeling things out, you know? Still just feeling things out a little bit. I mean, after this, who knows what his place in the Dark Order is after they took that loss. I was expecting them to win. I really was, you know? But, you know the Cody's fam got a little bit of retribution for him. And so this coming Wednesday on Dynamite, it will be Dustin Rhodes taking on Brody Lee for the TNT Championship. I'm actually very interested in that match to see how that's going to go. Is Dustin going to get more offense than his brother, or is it going to go the exact same way, just a complete squash?
I'm definitely going to say more offense, even if it's going to be an awesome match, but then it will be ending in kind of like a semi-clean finish. But Dustin's promo after the match was spot on awesome.
Yeah, no, I really enjoyed that. Dustin, he's in back of me here, right up there. Such a great guy. What a great talent, man, to be in this business for so long and to be in his early 50s and still kicking ass. That just goes to show, like mid to late 30s isn't the prime in wrestling anymore, with guys like Daniels, Jericho, and him just keep up in the ante. So guys are going to have long careers, and I'm excited for that.
Same here.
But we are going to go to the longest match on the card. It was 29 minutes and 40 seconds.
Oh, boy.
It is the All Elite Wrestling World Tag Team Championship match. FTR, For the Revolution, Forever the Revival, Fear the Revival, whatever they are.
Yeah.
Fear the Revolt. Cash Wheeler and Dax Harwood, their top guys. You know, they were accompanied by Tully Blanchard, legendary horseman, legendary tag team wrestler. They defeated Kenny Omega and Hangman Adam Page. We have new tag team champions. This was old school. It was hard-hitting. They were working ligaments and tearing body parts apart. They're dragging screws to Omega's his knee, his leg, to really minimize his movement and minimize the effect of the V-trigger. So what we thought, but he would actually hit a V-trigger on Hangman Page, which would be the deciding factor. They hit that pile driver once Hangman kicked out. They hit it again. And they held off Kenny, and boom, we have new AEW Tag Team Champions. FTR celebrated. Hangman, you know, he tried to get up and collapsed. Kenny didn't catch him. And then, you know, we see Kenny walk out of the arena with the Bucks. And he's like, are you guys coming with me or not? And then Kenny just hops in a SUV and takes off. So, and we saw him BTE being the elite, if anybody watched this past Monday. Ending scene was Kenny looking in the rearview mirror with those sinister shades on.
Mm-hmm.
So the cleaner's coming to AEW, oh, guys. Yeah. I'm excited, man. I really am.
Me too. And I wanted to give a shout out to my friend Joey. He actually mentioned about Kenny Omega's hair. Like, have you noticed any different about his hair? Like, what? Oh, his hair's not blonde anymore. It's going darker now. I was like, oh, crap. So that means, like, he's probably going to be going back to being a cleaner then. So yeah. It actually shows that, like, we're going to be seeing, like, is it going to be kind of like a comeback of the cleaner as we know it? Because I know that we were expecting a heel turn from either Paige or Omega, but then it just turned out that it ends in frustration where, like, Kenny just flat out leave Paige alone and just walk off while Matt and Nick was trying to chase him down.
Yeah, man. I mean, I'm excited for it. I didn't even notice that it wasn't blonde anymore. That's good on your buddy's part, man.
Mm-hmm.
So it looks like he will be going back to that chrome dome, and I'm down for that. I really am.
Me too.
I think that is dope.
Yeah, and I don't know what's gonna happen next with Hangman Page since now he's kicked out of the Elite. So it's like, are we gonna be seeing like a solo Hangman Page? Is he gonna join in with a stable? Like, there's so many unanswered questions, like what's in Hangman Page's mind. And I know on the website when I visited, it just showed a sad cowboy emoji face, and that's it.
I don't know, man. I mean, there's this rumored four-person faction, so I don't know. We'll see. I think Hangman should just go on a babyface run. I think if they can stretch it out to November, I'd like to see Kenny versus Hangman at all, not all out, what is it, Full Gear.
Yep.
Winner gets a shot at the AEW champion. I'd like to see that.
That would be pretty interesting.
Yeah, I think that'd be dope. Both guys are great athletes, but I mean, you have any other thoughts on this masterful tag team match?
Well, I kind of noticed about Tully Blanchard's jacket, like in the back, it has the Horsemen. So it's kind of like a subliminal message that we're going to be seeing kind of like a newer version of the AEW version of the Four Horsemen, because like there's like a lot of like rumors that it's going to be FTR, Spears, and possibly Paige or like whoever joins in.
I'm down for it, man. I'm a Horseman guy. I know Tony Schiavone said on commentary that Tully hasn't worn that jacket since the 80s when he was a tag team champion. I'm like, oh, that's dope, dude. It's a nice little piece of history you got there, man. All right, we're going to move on to the Mimosa Mayhem match.
Oh, yeah.
It was Orange Cassidy taking on the Demo God Le Champion, Chris Jericho. 15 minutes and 15 seconds. This is where I really lost at the predictions. I picked Jericho to win. I should have known. He creates matches but doesn't win them. Created Money in the Bank, didn't win it. Created the Ambrose Asylum, didn't win it. Creates Mimosa Mayhem, doesn't win it. He didn't get pinned, he didn't submit, but he fell into the batch of Mimosa. Go on the In the Click Instagram. Baby Huey put up Jericho laying in it, and he was like, drink it in, man.
That's hilarious.
Well, let's just get your thoughts on the past 14 weeks of Cassidy versus Jericho. Orange Cassidy showing all this personality, and then your thoughts on the blow-off.
Well, I was very glad that it's just a well-put-off storytelling between Cassidy and Jericho. I feel like this is going to be the end of their whole like rivalry and the rubber matches they've been having like for past episodes. And I was like pretty much very blown away for it too. I know it was starting off like a bit slow in the beginning, but then it started, things picked up and you saw like a bunch of close call, like you saw that Cassidy was almost about to dunk into the Mimosa, like closer through his hair and then his leg too. It's like so many close call. And then again, I was very impressed altogether, especially the part where Cassidy did the some sort of a Superman punch to Jericho on the top turnbuckle, and that's where Jericho fell and landed on that pool of Mimosa. I wonder what brand of orange juice that he used. And I probably that champagne is probably from his champagne line.
That juice was pretty thick. That looked like some Tampico.
Well, yeah, I saw it on the Rudos podcast, shout out to them, that it looks like Tang.
Yeah, Jay, he was hitting me up while the match was going on. He was like, that looks like some Tang, man. I'm like, that's a little funny, dude.
I'm glad I picked Orange Cassidy, because I knew he was going to be the one that's going to beat Jericho for the win. Because like, if it's like a Mimosa Mayhem match and showing like the different side of Orange Cassidy, which he kind of reminds me of my friend Corey, shout out to him, CWR415, digress on that, but like showing his personality and like the different side of him, besides like him, like, you know, being all like thumbs up, thumbs down, just like all around laziness. But it just shows that like he has more to offer besides like being part of best friend, But as a single competitor, like, I could see, like, there's probably, like, a little bit more of a push from him, too. But not, like, way to the top, but, like, you know, around, like, in a mid-card section, like, semi-high.
Yeah, I think this new version of Orange Cassidy that we have seen, he'd make a nice contender for the TNT Championship or even possibly a one-off at the AEW World title somewhere down the line, you know? Congratulations, Orange. You got your victory over Chris Jericho. But don't count the demo got out. He'll be back with more big wins. I did like how he went into the barricade and that really affected his Judas Effect elbow.
Yep.
I like that little piece of continuity, little scenery right there. Oh, yeah. All right, ladies and gentlemen, it is the main event, 23 minutes and 40 seconds. It is for the AEW World Heavyweight Championship. Maxwell Jacob Friedman went up against Jon Moxley. It was bloody. It was brutal. They were throwing slobber knockers at each other. Mm-hmm. Wardlow throws in the dynamite dozen ring. MJF's like, where is it? Where is it? He finally looks at it, and then he looks up at Mox. They eye each other down. Mox realizes the ref is being dealt with by Wardlow. Paradigm shift, 1, 2, 3. Jon Moxley retains the AEW championship. Guys, in matches when people can't use their finishers, they use them anyway. The ref gets distracted. You know? This just happens. This was a pretty long match. What are your thoughts on it? I was kind of in and out watching.
Well, first of all, when Jon Moxley came out to do his usual entrance, there was a fan that was about to mob Moxley until the security had to like tackle him over. Like I saw like two different like video angles. Shout out to Aaron Rith, my boss from NewDQ.com, posted a video of like the fans. Like, one of the fans was trying to, like, run over, like, about to, like, tackle Moxley or something. But then, yeah, security just push him over. And Moxley was, like, kind of, like, walking over, looking down. But then he was looking up in the camera and then continuing on with his entrance. So that was kind of, like, one of the highlights from the main event. But all in all, the match was pretty interesting. Especially had some brutal spots where MJF got busted open. I was, like, I never seen MJF busted open ever in my life, like, even though I actually seen him at an independent wrestling show back in 2017 in Canada, and, like, the way he went to this whole high caliber extent, and while he was, like, bleeding, like, from the top down, shows, like, he has, like, more of an aggressive, like, determination trying to make sure that Moxley would not able to win the match in particular. But all in all, it was a great storytelling. I know Wardlow kind of screwed up where he kind of provided the distraction to the referee, and of course Moxley did the paradigm shift, and there you have it. Although I actually kind of having mixed feelings about it, you know, because I originally choose MJF to win this match, because the reason why, because Moxley is the current IWGP United States Champion for New Japan Pro Wrestling. I thought that they would have him being off of TV just to focus on New Japan a little bit until he dropped the title to Kenta, but it was like a whole different story. So now he's still in AEW, and of course we're going to be seeing him against the Murderhawk Monster, which I'm for it. This is kind of like a rematch from New Japan altogether, so... Yeah,
that is going to be interesting. It's a rehash from New Japan where they battled over the IWGP US title. So they might do some callback spots for those hardcore fans who are fans of those matches. I'm not sure, but you know, all in all, you know, I would have liked Maxwell to win the title. I didn't pick him, but you know, I did my part for the campaign, handed out flyers, all that other stuff. But yeah, all in all, this was a pretty decent pay-per-view. We like to give grades here on the Bullet Cast. So Cindy, your grades for All Out 2020.
Well, on the episode of Into the Stratosphere, like past episode, I do give thumbs up, thumbs down for it. So for the letter grade on it, I was expecting a little bit more to it, but it was kind of like matches were long. I feel there was a little bit of a like flash spot, especially that one of the matches, Matt Hardy versus Sammy Guevara's match. I wish they would have stopped it completely for the sake of Matt Hardy's well-being. I hope he's doing okay. All in all, I would give this pay-per-view, and I hate to say it for the first time in a while, I'm going to give it kind of like a C plus. I'm sorry. I'm just being honest, you guys, because I was expecting what All Out's supposed to be. And from the way it's been presented, it was kind of like longer, almost 4 hours of the pay-per-view. The crowd was kind of tuned out because I understand that it was hella hot in Jacksonville, and I feel their pain because it's hot out here in the northern Solano County Valley too. So it's kind of like it's already like tuned out altogether. Matches were kind of like questionable, like the Tooth and Nail match to the Casino Battle Royale matches, and then the Dark Order versus the Natural Nightmare, Matt Cardona, Scorpio Sky. It was kind of like hit or miss altogether. All in all, like my safe C plus, and for like my thumbs up, thumbs down, I'm just gonna give it just one thumbs up. That's it.
Gotta give it to Cassidy.
Yep.
For the people, there you go. I'll give it a C too. You know, it wasn't anything spectacular. You know, they didn't go all out for All Out. You know what I mean? The people, they were kind of quiet for most of the show. I get it. It's hot out there in Florida. I used to live in Florida. I understand that heat. It's unbearable.
Oh yeah.
But you know, I don't know. Maybe they'll be amped up for the next pay per view coming up in was it November? It'll be a little cooler out there. So you know.
Yeah.
I think they'll turn it up. All right, guys. I guess that's going to do it for our recap here. Cindy, thank you so much for joining me. This was a lot of fun. We got to do this more often.
I know, right? Thank you so much for having me. I love talking about like wrestling altogether, especially with AEW. I know that like this pay-per-view is not leading up to the expectation, but like I know AEW is learning a lot and they're still growing. They're almost hitting 1 year since the debut of AEW Dynamite. There's like a lot more room to grow no matter what, like whether it is from like in a positive route or like something that they're kind of like hitting some roadblock. But all in all, like, you know, I believe in AEW though.
Absolutely, man. I believe in it too. I was at the first show last year in Vegas. I know, it was great, man. Reinvigorated my love for this sport and this business so much. Cindy, where can the people find you?
All right, guys. You guys can follow me on Twitter, Instagram, and on my YouTube channel at simply_C_OK. That's SIMPLY_C_OK. And you guys can follow NoDQ.com on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and on the YouTube channel at NoDQ, DOTCOM. And check out the website for all the latest news in WWE, AEW, and other wrestling-related news. I'm mostly on the NoDQ Instagram page where I'm kind of like co-running alongside Aaron Riff. Yeah.
Oh, there we go. I had my mic muted. Pulled a Brandon. All right, guys, you know where you can find me at Heel Antwine, HEELANTWINE on Twitter and Instagram. No Facebook. That's just weird, guys. Seriously. I don't blame you. Bulletcast. So at Bulletcast on Twitter, the Bulletcast on Instagram, and the Bulletcast on YouTube. Bulletcast on Facebook. We're there. We don't really use it. You can find us wherever you listen to podcasts, and of course every Thursday night from 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. in Watsonville at 99.9 K-Dub. Thank you guys so much for listening to this. Cindy, thank you so much again for coming on. We have to get you on some of the regular episodes of the BC. Check out Into the Stratosphere, guys. She's doing great work. Episode 4, look at that. Look at that. Episode 4 is up. There might be a delay with episode 5 next week because I got some things planned here for the BC. Got some big things coming. I'm really excited. All right, guys. Thank you so much for listening. Stay clean, stay strong, stay safe, stay quarantined. Diamonds are forever, and so is the microphone messiah.
Cheers, y'all.
This has been the Bulletcast. Thank you for listening.